shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. I know, people are like, wait a minute, it's not commercials.
I know. Hey, it's 8:05 and
oh, we were here early.
Oh, yeah. Just want to point that out.
Actually, yeah, put that on our list of...
firsts.
Yeah, list of... We were here at like 9:45, actually 10:50 probably.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You are joining Aaron, Bill, Bob, and our special in-studio guest, Ed. See how you sound over there.
Well, good morning.
There you go.
There he is.
We didn't actually check our microphones. Okay, we were early, but we didn't do everything early.
And this is We the People Radio.
We didn't tell them that?
We didn't tell them that yet either.
And you can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We have information about the program and our guests. And you could call us if you'd like at some point, 530-605-4567. What else did we miss? We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 10. Thanks to Robert Exter, we have a webpage up at wethepeopleradio.us. On that page, you have archives that go way back.
Did we say we're streaming and chatting live?
Okay, we're doing that. There's a link there for the chat button. You're right.
Get on the chat room.
See, Elizabeth left. She moved to Utah. That's the whole problem.
And she always used to say, we're streaming and chatting
live. She totally
live.
Had a shtick for at the beginning.
And I don't have that.
Yeah, Bill. Bill's falling down on the job as the fill-in.
Yeah, as the fill-in foil.
My perfect foil. We've been doing this since October 2010, so you have a lot of archives. You know, on all sorts of things. We work on limited government, fiscal responsibility, things having to do with the Constitution.
And general horsing around.
And then there's the horsing around.
Yeah.
That's just like free. We just can't help that. Most of our topics are sort of serious, so we try not to make them too dire. Today will be dire. Actually, we'll have trouble horsing around today.
We should do a warning.
Free sarcasm at no additional charge.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you don't like that, you won't like this show.
Yeah, as much funning around we're going to do today.
Serious topic.
Very serious
topic. I wanted to, before we got going too far, I wanted to let people know that we will have tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Reading, we'll have Paul Preston on as our speaker. He is the host of Agenda 21 Radio. Is that what they call it, Bob? That's the whole name?
Agenda 21 Radio.
And he is on, I do not know the airtime.
9 to noon, Monday through Friday, on KCNR and several other affiliates around the country.
There you go. And the topic tomorrow night will be Benghazi. He's been doing a ton of work on that. So if you have questions, you want the latest and greatest, that'll be Paul Preston. We meet at Destiny Fellowship Church. Thanks to them for renting us their building, 6 p.m. They're at 2570 South Bonneview. And the only other thing I have to announce that I didn't write down...
I have an announcement.
...is next week. We have the editor for Range Magazine.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so...
that's the most awesome magazine.
And actually, for anybody who comes to the Tea Party tomorrow, I have a whole box of Range Magazines, the current edition, so...
You read one of those magazines and you will subscribe.
It's a great publication. And I guess she's very spicy. She's British. So next week should be fun. Everybody's like, oh, you're going to have her on the air, huh?
But I have a special announcement.
Oh, okay, go.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, are we still waiting for those guys to Skype in?
Yes, we are.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Two of our whistleblowers are Skyping in. They're obviously having some technical issues.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
There you go. And happy Mother's Day to Mom. Hi, Mom. I know you're probably not listening because you don't listen to radio, but I thought maybe...
My mom doesn't either.
I thought maybe if I became a star on the radio, she'd listen to that. It didn't work either.
It didn't work out.
No.
At least I sent my mom a card.
Of course, maybe I'm not a star yet. Maybe that's the whole thing.
All right. Do we have Tony in there? How are we doing?
We do have Tony.
We have Tony
standing by on the phone, yes.
Okay. So he's set. Let's move on topic here. We've got...
What are we talking about today?
All right. Today...
How not to do a Skype update.
How not to do a Skype update before you...
Right before you go on
air. Right before you go on air. So, okay, just to kind of set this up for anybody who actually tuned in on time, they've probably given up on us now. They're probably just tuning in. So sorry we hoodwinked you today. The Phoenix VA, people are hearing about that all the time, that they found 40 people had... died in the Phoenix area due to the fact that they were keeping duplicate lists for medical appointments. So some of the people were in the computer on the, quote, on the books, but that was only if there was a 15-day waiting period. If they were going to wait longer than 15 days, then they got put on a secret kind of backdoor paper list. And some of those people waited a year and better, and by the time they got to them, they had already died. So this has been very much in the news. Just in case you missed it, there's the thumbnail sketch. However,
this is Phoenix.
This is Phoenix, and so that's very well documented. You could go online, read all about that. The part that isn't being very well documented is what's going on at the Oakland Regional VA office. And for folks that don't speak VA, we should help them. You know, a lot of people, if they're not involved with that, they think all the VA stuff's the same. There are three tracks. One is the cemetery part, one is the health administration part, and one is the benefits administration part. So in order to get health benefits, first you have to go typically through, unless you were discharged and you were injured in the service, you have to go through the benefits administration. So you put a claim in for benefits. They evaluate it. They decide you're 20% disabled, 30, 40, whatever the number is, and for a knee injury, a back injury, all those kinds of things. So as you might imagine, there's a lot of paperwork, and most people have seen on the news at different points in time, they've shown giant rooms filled with, you know, files, you know, floor-to-ceiling files, and you hear about the backlog.
Once you put your claim in, you can expect results fairly soon.
Well, all the other people on the radio will talk about that, the mechanics of it. I'm just talking about in a perfect world, you apply, it goes through a process of evaluation, you are then determined to be a percentage disabled or not, and that determines the medical care you can get, whether you're eligible for certain veteran loans, buried in a veteran cemetery. There are all sorts of things that happen as a result of that. So when that process is broken, there are all sorts of things, obviously, that don't happen. Medical care doesn't happen. Dental care doesn't happen. Hearing, vision, there's tons of stuff. So we have one of our local veterans here in the studio. His name is Ed. And he's been waiting 36 years on his claim. Almost 30, yeah. Been waiting and waiting. So for those folks that are hearing that maybe it's not so bad, some people it goes through, but there are also others that take a very long time. Tony, you've been at the VA, working at the VA for how long? Tony?
Are you there? I'm sorry.
Hey there. How long have you worked at the VA?
5 years.
Okay. And before that, you give people a little snapshot on your resume there.
Before that, I worked at Starbucks Coffee Corporation as a store manager for like 3 or 4 years. I did some construction work, got my degree before that, and I was in the Marine Corps before that for 10 years.
And then
military police, canine, SWAT, did all kinds of stuff in law enforcement.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So, and then we have a couple other folks joining us. We probably don't want to give their resume particularly, but how about combined total time at the VA for both of them, for both
the other two?
Misty and Carlos. So,
they are both, I think, around 5 years each. So they're probably, both around 5 years, I think.
Okay. So that gives us a little snapshot of kind of where everybody is in this puzzle. You want to lay out for us where you guys would like to go today? We've got a couple minutes before we have to take a little break here. Then we'll let you struggle with Skype.
Okay.
Tony, this is the part where you're giving us an update.
Oh, I didn't hear what you asked me. I'm trying to do the Skype thing on my computer still, but it ain't working out.
Okay. You go do that. We'll talk amongst ourselves. We'll be back to you after the commercial. How's that?
All right. Thank you. I thought that you were telling me. Be right back.
I finally got the message.
We're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna reboot here, and then hopefully everybody will be online and ready to roll, and we'll get this conversation going.
Alrighty. In the meantime, you can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. If you have a question or anything, we have one phone line available. I know people don't typically call. We forget to give you the number, actually, most Sundays. But the number is 530-605-4567. And we'll be right back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Well, this is Carl and Linda Bott. We want to extend an invitation to join us for a very special event, a Salute to the Veterans cruise to the British Isles. You're invited to join Linda and I for this very special cruise.
August 15th, 2014, with a special emphasis for veterans, family, and friends who join us.
With a special tour of Normandy beaches and the landing spots for D-Day, the military tattoo in Edinburgh, and a special visit over to Ireland.
Hi, this is Alice at Avanti Travel. My husband Bob and I will be on the cruise too. We're so excited and anxious for you to join us. We'll have special events on the cruise like cocktail parties, group photos, military history presentations, and much, much more. So call Avanti Travel at 244-1400 for more information. All our gals are just waiting to hear from you. This is a very special cruise where we honor our veterans. Everyone is invited. So give us a call right away.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free baking mixes made with ancient grains. At Amazing Foods, we're here to help you make living gluten-free easy and healthy. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, and delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes, while at the same time adding protein and omegas to your diet. Amazing Foods for Life is produced in a dedicated top 8 allergen-free environment. Check us out at AmazingFoodsForLife.com or at Orchard Nutrition Center, Tops Market, and many more.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
How are you? Have you been all right through all those lonely, 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 lonely nights? That's what I'd say. I'd tell you everything if you'd pick up that telephone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's you, Misty and Carlos. We're calling you. We failed on Skype. Our technology has taken us out. Like Ed told us on the break, he goes, that's why I don't do the technology. He's got a pen, a piece of paper. He's a happy guy over there. The rest of us, we've got multiple chat rooms going. The Skype thing isn't working. The radio works, though. People out there are like, well, for God's sake, get to the show and stop talking about it. All right. So we flunked Technology 101 today. Ed, give us a little snapshot of what you've been doing for the last 30 years.
Well, I grew up in a small town in south of here, and I worked at Travis Air Force Base in Fairfield, California. And during high school, when I was a child, I seen a couple of recruiters, and they recruited me into the Army. And I went in the Army. And when I was 17 and a half, and so after spending 3 years at Travis Air Force Base as a civilian, I thought I was going to do okay. And when I got to the Army, got to training, there was an accident during a PT or obstacle course while we were training. And it was a simple accident. And then after that, I was a little slow. So then our DIs and our commanders were a little upset with me. So I suffered a hazing on my birthday, September. And we have been fighting that ever since. It's 1978.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, and they chose to do nothing.
Well, they said that they'd do something if I had medical records proving it, and it seems like they've been destroying and ditching my medical records for the last 36 years. All of a sudden, they're popping up here and there. People that are whistleblowers are finding them and sending them to me. And I'd like to thank those people explicitly for... Or I'd never have my medical records from my military stay. They always said it never happened until I get those. And thank you all. Everybody's helped me.
Tony, have you ever heard something so ridiculous as actually destroying records? Do you think that goes on over there?
Tony's muted because Bob's got him muted.
Uh-oh. Hold on.
Bob, can you unmute Tony, please?
Not really. I've got to call Tony back. Make a long story short, I had to call Misty and Carlos on Tony's line. So.
Okay. Bottom line is Ed, Bill, and I'll just chat here amongst ourselves.
Sure. Well, from what I understand from Joseph over at the VA, who calls me often before, he told me that there's a woman named Ada Romero that cherry picks files, that she works in the healthcare section in Sacramento, and that somehow she cherry picks files before anybody else gets a peek at the file and takes the medical information that you have from where you were stationed at the base that you actually were at the hospital, and then either removes it, destroys it, or just eliminates it so it can't be seen by the decision review officers or the officers that make the decision at the Oakland Regional for your decision on your percentage of your disability.
Okay. So, guys, this is just hard to fathom. So for 35 years, you have written letters, you've done everything on your end, and the VA either doesn't respond or tells you that your records are missing or you need to reapply or no response at all.
I've wrote everyone, Senator Congressman, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Doug LaMalfa, our President of the United States. I told them that our people are dying on the streets and dying in these hospitals every day. I know our president. I wrote him and warned him of these people dying. And no response. I actually get a little card. It says your correspondence was sent to the appropriate VA people,
but no response.
It was just a form card,
right?
And I wish the president would actually do something In other words, if these veterans did something for them, I mean, the ones I'm talking about actually were in wars and lost limbs and got Agent Orange and so on. And they're suffering. I see them on the street homeless, and they're suffering every day. I mean, there was here in Reading, there was 15 of them 3 years ago. Now there's three of them.
Oh my
gosh. The rest of them are deceased. And I've been at some of their funerals over here and there. They can't even be buried in at the military.
At the VA cemetery?
Sure, because they don't have a rating yet.
Oh, my gosh. Now, have you written Senator Boxer or Feinstein?
I wrote them, and they told me that my case is in chronological order. 36 years. I mean, how much chronological can I get?
36 years, you should be pretty close to the top, I would think.
But last year, thanks to Doug LaMalfa's office, our congressman, we finally got a 30% for my knee. But the funny thing is my knee happened the same time my back and neck and most everything else happened at the same time. So I don't understand how they worked that. So
that all went in on the same claim.
And they
but
gave
the
me
only thing they rated you on was the knee. And have you heard anything since then about your back and the other injuries? Are they processing that, or what are they telling you?
They process it. I had to file a notice of decision and send it to the Board of Veterans Appeals, and I hear that takes anywhere between 5 and 7 years because there's a small board there, and they weren't expecting all these claims to be. In other words, Oakland's supposed to be doing their job, and under Douglas Bragg, the director, the old director who would just fiddle around and watch porn all day on his computer, and that's from a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told, and play online gambling online instead of processing claims or watching his people. I actually heard that my physical file, instead of being worked, was sitting on, because I seen Douglas Bragg here in town personally, and I must have ticked him off, was sitting on his desk for 6 months, not being worked, because he could keep it there for 6 months. It was just called a delay tactic.
So he pulled it aside and held on to it so nobody
else. And I have documentation that states that in some of that documentation, it says that it left the director's office and finally went back into the process. Yeah, he's playing games. He was playing games with my file. That's why he was forced to resign.
And you said that he has since retired. I'm sure he's retired with full compensation and
a golden parachute. You bet.
Right, right. That's real nice.
And he gets it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He gets it monthly. He doesn't have to wait. I wish they would have just held on to it.
Yeah,
instead
I think
of
we need to process his retirement and put that before the same.
Let me do
people.
It.
Yeah. There you go. I like that idea. Do we have?
Yeah.
We have Tony on the line.
Yes, sir.
Tony, have you ever heard such a thing? I mean, this really sounds a little far fetched. Does this kind of thing happen down there?
Oh, absolutely. I've got 2 years worth of Federal Labor Relations Authority claims, OIG reports, the final agency decision from the Office of Employment Discrimination, adjudication complaints, just gave me back my second EEO complaint and said I didn't prove anything. They lied. I got to do a response to their 29 pages. Bragg was the center of all that. Him, Willimon, Pennington, Markey. I can go on and on. The managers there are just as corrupt as Washington, D.C. VA.
Unbelievable.
And why do you say Washington, D.C.?
Because that's where the Office of Employment Discrimination and Complaints Adjudication is based out of. And also the General Counsel is based out of there. There's regional offices, regional counsel, but they're all corrupt. They're all lying. They're trying to do loophole litigation. I'll tell you what, I'll provide you my response to this final agency decision that I'm going to send to them. It's going to be over 120 pages, but it's going to show how many lies they've committed. These are felonies, too, in the government. When you lie in the government, that's a felony. But for some reason, the OEDC is not talking about it.
And wait, you have to tell us you can't do acronyms. You rattle, I'm like, the what?
With acronym, I'm sorry.
And OIG, we rattled that off. People hear that
now.
Oh, yeah,
the Office of Inspecting General, OIG.
And all the departments have that. So we hear about the OIG investigation, like on IRS and different things like that. So there are many inspectors general for all the different departments. Ed's got a thing.
Yeah, Tony, I'd just like to tell you that I met with an investigator for law enforcement that is investigating, I guess, my side of this. And I would probably suggest that if you can get a local law enforcement, they're investigating all the fraud and the withholding funds from veterans within the area that they have jurisdiction. And I don't know if they'd have jurisdiction in your area, so you might want to contact your local district attorney or sheriff department, because they may take it up and get them all together and then go in there after them, because I think that's what needs to be done. This person...
That's exactly what needs to be done, Ed. We need somewhere to come in and blanket. I try to talk to FBI about this. We need a multi-jurisdictional blanket, like somebody to come in and run all these different investigations, because by keeping them separate, they're able to have plausibility and say this isn't happening across the board, when it is, because they're not bringing in all the evidence. They're doing loophole litigation. Investigations aren't complete. Exactly like what you're saying. Brad was able to retire. He was kind of forced to retire. But he should be brought back and held on charges for the things that he's done to the veterans, to his employees. Seriously, there's three managers that retired this last year besides him.
Yeah, he told me at the Veterans Hall here on Yuba Street that it'll be a cold day in hell.
When you get your benefits.
That I get my benefits because I interrupted him while he was in the restroom. And I didn't know. Okay, he was done. you missed Mr. Bragg. And all these Markey and Miss Willimon and Miss Trinkle and Mr. Willie Clark and Mr. Erickson Secchi, they all should be fired. And
absolutely.
And have a board hear their claim for benefits and say, you know, they're overwhelmed and see how they live for, you know, 27, 20, 30 years on $910 a month. You know, just give them a little snippet.
And they wouldn't even know what to do, Ed, because most of them make over $150,000 a year.
Well, I tell you, I get $958 a month, and these guys are making me suffer. And Mr. Bragg knew what he was doing when he did it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He knew what he was doing when he did it to me, too. Last year, I was supposed to make $75,000 for my base salary because I've been there for so long and my promotions. I made $25,000 last year because of the amount of time I had to take off sick and stress from the stuff he was putting me through. And I got $25,000 last year. I'm in poverty right now.
Yeah, that's triple what I get. But I feel for you because nobody can live off that. Yeah, I wrote this Michelle Kwok down there. I never got an answer, and I understand a Lee Deloney, which is some guy that falsified records. What he did is he we were down there in June last year on my decision review hearing. And he was there. He goes, I don't know nothing about your records being given to the congressman's office or whatever. They never got released. And then he files in August that my records were released. How could he have done that? That's kind of like giving out records, not knowing it was done, and then trying to cover his rear because he placed it in August in a file that I could that my whistleblower sent. And thank you, Joseph, and thank you, Tony, for everything that you're doing for these veterans. And I hear that the North Coast veterans get picked on now because the congressman has showed interest. Congressman Doug LaMouth has showed interest in this. And so they, Miss Willimon and Miss Markey and Miss Michelle Kwok, single us out. That's just my opinion. And,
I heard something about this in the building. I heard about a person. In fact, I talked to the person that was supposedly that called the congressman's office and threatened them. But the guy said he never called in. So I'm wondering who called in and used his name.
So somebody from the VA in Oakland called and threatened, and then they denied it, or wasn't them, or what?
What I heard, they shredded some documents.
Oh, they're shredding documents now.
Well, I'm not sure if they're doing it now because I've been out of work for a few weeks, but I'm sure they're doing it, especially.
Well, who took Bragg's place down there?
Well, Kwok is. Kwok is the assistant director. She came from L.A. She was a service center manager down there. If you look at the record down in L.A., it was horrible. She came up here, and she's done the same thing. She told me I was the problem. I need to stop saying things, do as I'm told. I had a meeting with her. That's exactly what she said to me.
Wow. And so they have not appointed anybody as director yet?
Oh, well, I take that back. From what I heard on the news, there's somebody, KTVU put out something about Julianne Bohr, somebody from Seattle, a director, came in to take the place. And they said now that the new director's there, all the claims are going to be done. It used to be 280 because the director wasn't there. That's all hogwash. When Brad was there, we started adding days to claims. It wasn't a matter of changing directors. The new one right now, she ain't going to do anything different.
Well,
she's going to do what she's told.
Well, as far as the managers down there, how much control do they have with this as far as the director goes? I mean, do they just get overrun, or do they have any kind of say so at all?
They do what they're told.
They just toe the line and
just like the managers are told, do what you're told, and that's it. But it's against the law. Do what you're told.
So when they see things that are not right, and
they'll cover them up.
So they don't even bring it to light. They just cover it up and move on, or do they bring it up and are told?
They don't know how to do it. And the fighters that have been there, the managers are so incompetent, they can't lead their way out of a burning building with lights and sirens showing them the way, because they can't forecast how things are going to progress. Like when they say something or they plan something, they don't plan it. They don't know how things are going to transpire. So when something happens based on a decision they make, and they're like, "Oh my God, I messed it up. Oh well, let's spend some more money."
And so, as a person working under one of these managers, when you see something that's not right, or a claim that's being buried, or you found an old claim that nothing's been done with, I mean, there's a myriad of things I'm sure they run into. They take it to the manager, or do they not take it to the manager for fear of ending up cleaning toilets someplace? I mean, what happens at that point?
That's exactly what's happened a lot in the past until I started saying things. Because I don't go for that. There's right and there's wrong.
They don't take it up, or they do?
No, they'll take it from me and they'll give it to somebody else to process how they want. And I found out they were doing that, so now I just, myself or some of the other veterans that care, we do it ourselves. We'll take that claim and we'll do whatever's got to be done. We'll get in trouble for it later on, like it's out of your digit or
okay,
should have worked that.
Retaliate against you if you don't toe the line. I mean, if
I've been charged with insubordination and failure to follow orders because I do stuff like that.
Not insubordination, Tony. Not
yeah, and
you.
I was in the Marine Corps for 10 years. I'm stellar. I do what I'm told when it's right.
Sorry, I never do what I'm told. So I was like, "Hey, you're one of me.
You're an S disturber," is what they call it in my place. That's what they call me.
That's exactly what they charged me for when this hazing took place down in 1978. When I started making statements because I had to go to the hospital for some serious injuries, and then my commander gets a hold of it and they want to write me up for insubordination, and then I kept squawking and screaming about it. And went back to the doctor because I had some medical problems. And they rate me up and send me to the brig because I was talking too much. In other words, they wanted to shut me up.
Wow. And you were doing what you're told. Absolutely. They'll make you go away. Yeah. That was old culture back in the day. And that's the same thing like the managers, some of the managers we're dealing with now. Bragg was in the Navy at that time, from what I heard. So he's got the same culture. He don't care. He'll do what he wants. They can change their laws as they want.
I'd like to remind Douglas Bragg that... out there in Fremont, you could still be reached, and people within the Veterans Administration in Oakland, law enforcement is right on your tail. They just need a little bit more, and believe me, one day when you walk out of that building and you get a set of bracelets placed on you, remember me.
Well, that would be nice.
I wish I was still in law enforcement because I'd do it myself.
Sure. When I talked to law enforcement not very long ago, and I did talk to law enforcement, believe it or not, and they're very enthused about reaching out and getting a lot of these people.
Well, give them my
name. I'll talk to anybody you have. I'll talk to them.
Well, we're gonna have to take a break.
We've got a full 2 hours of this. So for people that are listening in, they're going, "What the heck are they talking about?" stick with us because there's a lot more. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online. If you click the chat button, though, that'll give you a little direction. There are two chat rooms. Click the second link. That's where everyone is. You'll be lonely in the first one. We'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Smile isn't in the making. You gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many voices. Staying on the scene. Killing up all around me. Faces full of pain.
Jones is for it. Redding's Full Line Gun Shop offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's Full Line Gun Shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I was going to do almost anything you told me to. Oh, you guys. You've tuned back into to We the People Radio. We're yet again goofing off, talking serious.
Well, we are talking about the VA crisis in Oakland, and it has reached crisis level. We're talking with Tony on the line. We have Ed in the studio. And do we have Carlos and Misty on the phone as well? Hello?
Yeah.
Crickets.
Crickets.
You're alert.
Guys want to pipe in?
Hello? Misty, you're on. What from what we've been talking about, does this any of this sound familiar to you?
Well, one of the biggest problems that I've had working at this regional office is how they deal with the claims and the dates of claims. There's a directive that was put out by Washington last year that says that there's very strict procedures on what you do with a claim that's been found that's old. Sometimes they're several months old, sometimes they're over a year or more. What they've come up with is very strict guidelines, but in the Oakland Regional Office, we do not adhere to this directive. We put a simple flash on it saying that it's an unadjudicated claim, and it simply goes by the date that we discover it. So if we get a claim in that's a year old or almost a year old, we put it in as the date that we discover it. So that veteran has to wait now again because he doesn't have a date of claim that reflects the true date. He's now waiting more than a year, and the claim is still waiting to be touched.
So when we hear on the radio, the VA is claiming that now they don't have any claims over 120 days.
Not a deal like that.
Is that what they're talking about?
Exactly, because like Rusty was saying, there's not a date of claim. There's no date. The date of claim is supposed to be the date that the veteran claims it. If the veteran claims it on a certain date, and then it doesn't happen after that, until like they don't find it for like a year later, then it starts over, and that data claim is now a year later.
And so, how does that affect the back pay?
Well, it's the RVSR, like in my position, the people that...
And what's an RVSR?
It's a Rating Veteran Service Representative. Thank you. They're the ones that are like DROs. We do the first decision.
Hold on.
Review officer, which is a DRO.
And that's a what?
The decision review officer?
Decision review officer. Okay. Yeah, we've got to tell people what these guys do.
You guys have got a lot of levels there. Everybody has a title. We're not familiar with the jargon.
We're out here in the dopey zone.
So we make the decision on it, and if we make the decision on it, we're supposed to be able to provide the veteran the first date that they claimed it, almost like an informal claim. But what they've done at the office to hide the numbers and to change the way they view all the numbers and show that there's no claims over a certain date is they wait to put them under control, and they wait to put them in the system. And some of them are 8-9 months old. They should be showing 8-9 months old claims, but like the person said, they are supposed to do the date of discovery.
Hey, Tony, I'd like to ask you a question. Have you actually come across my claim down there at Oakland?
I have, actually. There's some information that I came across where they said that there was multiple documents pending to be scanned in. And I looked at it, and I made a screenshot. And then a few weeks later, I come back, and I look at it again, and nothing had changed, but those multiple documents that are supposed to be scanned in are missing, and like, there's no flash anymore.
My guy says that during about 2 weeks ago that they found some medical records that were dated, 57 pages and 17 pages, and what they did is cherry-picked them. And then Miss Willimon and Miss Markey, this is just what I understood, were destroying them because they didn't come in properly. In other words, they didn't come in protocol.
They don't have the authority nor the legal backing to do that at all. They cannot destroy a document that is part of somebody's record without authorization. They seem to think they can do what they want, but they aren't supposed to. Anything that comes in is supposed to be part of your record unless it's an exact copy, and then we have to certify as an exact copy, and then if they're or authorized, we can get it straight.
Who would have the authorization to destroy a document? I mean, who would they go to for that?
I would go to a privacy officer. The privacy officer is supposed to have the regulations that state which documents we can destroy and which ones we can't. The laws are there.
Hey, Tony, in looking at this, this is Ed again. In looking at my file when you looked at it, your opinion, I don't know if you noticed, but they told me that I didn't write letters back in 78 to certain people. Of course, the Veterans Affairs did not exist back then, but I wrote letters. And then over the years, I wrote the Veterans Affairs when they were invented. But they only processed my case for 1 year back, and they used some lame excuse about no prior filing of a claim. And these people are they idiots?
And the thing is that for an RVSR myself, if you have filed a claim before, then that's supposed to be weighed into consideration, especially if you were wrongfully denied or they denied the wrong reason. For your situation, from what I've heard, is that there were a bunch of records at the National Personnel Records Center, NPRC, and what happened was when those things get lost or filed in somebody else's record by accident, then those are still in the government's hands. And so what that means is if we made a mistake and we didn't take those into consideration because we wrongfully filed them, then you get that data claim all the way back to that date, the first time you filed the claim. Now, if they're saying you never filed the claim and you have documents that split, then you're supposed to weigh in favor of the veteran.
So when my claim was done and they gave me the 30% on my leg and they didn't have the other files, now I have to file a notice of disagreement, got that denied. Now it's at the Board of Veterans Appeals, which takes 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. Now that they found the actual records, shouldn't that be an error? And I would ask that our new director, Miss Juliana Barr, pull my records back and re-review my file, because I don't think it's fair that they reviewed it in a notice of disagreement without the proper medical records. And now, how could you deny something and then come back later? And now I have to wait the 5 years for the Board of Veterans Appeals to deal with this, which does not make sense.
No, what that's called is a clear and unmistakable error, a CUE. and a clear and unmistakable error is, just like I was talking about, if we have the VA has possession of those records, and they made the wrongful decision, they didn't weigh in your medical records, they didn't take that into consideration, then that's a clear and unmistakable error. We have the evidence right there that states something else is supposed to be going on with your claim. You should have been awarded differently or a higher rating or whatever it was.
Okay, so if the documents have been shredded, then you're not going to prove that either. Is that correct?
If the documents aren't there, you're absolutely correct, sir.
Okay, so
that's why we need people with ethics and morals in the positions of management, not people that are going to destroy things.
So let's get back to this privacy officer. Are there actual policies, written policies, on what can be shredded? I mean, I find that fascinating that they even have guidelines for what can be shredded as far as documentation. I wouldn't think anything should ever be shredded.
There's sometimes that we get multiple copies of multiple documents, and if we kept all those copies, we would have no room for storage at all. What's supposed to happen is, before you shred them, they're supposed to be returned to the veteran. So if the veteran wants to resubmit them.
Well, I'm thinking you could scan that into a computer. It takes, like, a tiny little bit of space.
We can. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just that blows my mind that you could actually shred documents and then come back and say, oh, we don't have a record of it.
And that's the thing, they're not supposed to shred veterans' documents. They can shred, like, common policy documents or, like, multiple rating documents. But if it's your medical records, we're supposed to send those back to you with the letter saying these are copies of stuff that we already have on hand. These are for you. They aren't supposed to shred the veterans' personal information, like your PD-214 and NIS. That's not supposed to be shredded.
Right, right.
Unless they printed extra copies from, like, a system, and then that's an authorization. But still, it has to be part of the file. You have to certify that it's part of the file.
Now,
if it's the veterans' records, you have to give it to the veteran.
Okay, so these privacy officers... you're saying they're the ones that make the determination whether or not these documents should be shredded?
They make the determination at the end. In the beginning, it's supposed to be the determination of the person that using the documents. We all get training on this. We get certified on it. We're supposed to know which ones we can and cannot and which ones got to be returned to the veteran. And then the privacy officer is supposed to ensure that there's compliance.
Okay, so then he takes your recommendation to shred or not shred and then makes the final decision on whether to shred them.
Exactly, and if it's a document that may be part of a claim or may be needed by the claim, then we have to put a signature on there. It has to go to our supervisor. That's part of the procedure. And then once you get two signatures, the privacy officer is supposed to review it. Third one, and then shred.
Okay. So what about these 57 pages that Ed says that they found and shredded? What can you tell me about that? I mean, does that sound like policy?
No, it's not policy. That's illegal. You can't do that. Well, they can. They do it, but they're not supposed to. And if they do it, I wish I had a camera and stuff so I can get them.
Hey,
Tony, they don't believe people when you tell them.
Hey, right. Tony, Ed again. Hey, you told me, you looked at my case a little bit. From viewing my case, what was your determination? I mean, does it look like there's that I have a great case, or do I have a good case?
You know, I didn't get into it because I didn't rate the case and I didn't review it as far as that. I was looking mainly for updates, changes, stuff like that was supposed to get in there, like the documents I heard from NPR Spears, NPR National Personnel Records Center, were supposed to be there, and they weren't. And then seeing those documents that are waiting to be scanned, I was curious, what is waiting to be scanned? Because from what I heard, the documents were pending. They were lost in somebody else's record, and we were waiting for them to arrive. But I never saw them. And what I know is you have a case up at BVA, Board of Veterans Appeals, and they're supposed to be evaluating your case, but that's where all your hard copies are. You have a computer system, and that's the only computer file I could look at from my area. All the hard records, I never got a chance to look at any of your hard records. Any of the volumes you have, any of those hard copies, they're all at Board of Veterans Appeals still.
Tony, I'm assuming that the VA down there has a legal department. They have lawyers on hand?
They do. They're called regional counsel. They're corrupt and they lie a lot.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Because I heard last time, because you were on once before. I kind of heard through the grapevine that they were listening to the program and were a little concerned about some of the information that we were talking about. Do you think they're listening today?
Oh, I hope so. Because the last time I was out, they removed me from the building and said I was going to be fired. And then they heard I did a radio show. So they, management, pulled the information and provided it to supposedly the regional counsel and general counsel because somebody said they saw a letter in the system that they forgot to delete. And it explained this. I couldn't get a copy of it, but it explained that they were looking to fire me because of what I put out. But what I heard is the lawyers and judges got together and said, he hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't done anything illegal. He's not putting out veterans information out there, and he's not break the privacy codes. He's just talking policy and procedure and stating exactly what's part of the public record now with all my cases.
Well, that's interesting. I certainly do hope they're listening today because some of this information, it has to get out. People need to know what's going on down there in Oakland. And, you know, them to stand up and say, gosh, we've never heard of any of this before, and this can't be happening.
Or the processing date's wrong. Right.
I mean, they know this is going on, and I think the legal department is on the hook here just as much as the director, the managers, anybody that's taken part in this to cover it up.
When they break the law, they're supporting management and showing them how to get out of it.
Absolutely.
That's not the way it's supposed to be.
No.
That's not the law. That's actually not even being partial.
Well, I think if you know something illegal is going on and you're not doing anything about it as an attorney, I think you're in big trouble there. And
that's an ethics violation, and that's what I got to report to the Office of Government Ethics. They're the only ones that are supposed to decide that, but they're part of the government, part of general counsel, and they eat lunch together.
Right. Well,
so I'm not sure how far it's going to go.
Well, it's all about the lunch, isn't it?
I think it's all going to heat up pretty
fellas,
quickly here.
We got to take a quick break because otherwise it'll just be one big long break. I think it's actually going to be one big long break anyway. But we're talking about the Oakland VA today and all that goes with it.
I got to take my blood pressure medication.
Bill's here waving his
phone.
Be right back.
Telephone. Help me, doctor, something's wrong. I can't shake it, it's gone too far. He said, tell me what your symptoms are. Said my hands.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Well, it's 2014. Do you find yourself looking in the mirror and saying, I want to be a better me? This year, I want to feel stronger, have a more positive outlook on life, and feel like I'm controlling my life. Life isn't controlling me. Well, now's the time. Go to Adamson's Peak Performance, a gym where the staff has incredible integrity. Adamson's is a place where you can become a better you. Get fit. Call Adamson's now at 221-8006. Adamson's Peak Performance.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Love lies on.
Songs about lives are there, Bob? Have we played them all yet, or are there more?
437.
Nice.
Well, we'll have time for some of them.
437. Tony, you can come back on again then. We'll still have music.
Yeah, I'm down.
We have more songs about lives. So we've got a couple minutes here before the top of the hour, and then we're going to come back, and we're obviously going to discuss this for the rest of the program. Where do you want to go the second half?
I would like to talk about 14,000 claims right now.
There you go.
Fire away.
Are we ready to go?
Yep.
Well, we got 2 minutes, so we'll.
We got 1 minute.
We got 1 minute.
Let people know so that they'll want to sit through the news and pop back with us.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about?
Go for it.
Okay. Regarding the 14,000 claims, in November of 2009, several individuals were put in to work a special project. The special project, I was one of those individuals, were 14,000 claims that had been in a drawer, some of them dating back to 1994.
And they've never been processed?
Never been processed.
Okay. Hang with us on that, Misty. We're going to come back to you right after the news. And then people can find out what happened to the 14,000 claims in Oakland. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR. 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
They never hide documents.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The U.S. says it will do all it can to help find some 300 Nigerian schoolgirls abducted by a Muslim terror group last month. John Campbell is the former ambassador to Nigeria.
The U.S. can provide technical assistance, particularly intelligence sharing. It can also provide expertise in things like negotiation strategies, if and when that becomes something which is feasible.
He talked to Fox News. One of the teenagers who escaped says the kidnapping was, quote, too terrifying for words. She's scared to go back to school. Voting is underway today on independence referendums in two regions of eastern Ukraine. Pro-Russian rebels have seized government buildings in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions and clashed with police and Ukrainian troops over the past month. Those are the two places where the voting is taking place. Meanwhile, Moldova's foreign ministry says Russia's deputy prime minister was stopped from leaving the country today, carrying a petition calling on Moscow to recognize a separatist region in Moldova. A government watchdog says the federal government's oversight of pipeline safety is lacking.
The Transportation Department's Inspector General says Washington is failing to do its job of making sure states effectively oversee the safety of natural gas and other pipelines. A newly released report says the federal effort is so riddled with weaknesses that it's not possible to ensure states are enforcing pipeline safety. The findings come more than 3 years after a deadly San Francisco-area gas pipeline explosion. Greg Clugston, SRN News, Washington.
Heavy storms have been sweeping through the Midwest again this weekend. The National Weather Service confirming at least one tornado hit the town of Orrick in northwest Missouri yesterday, damaging homes and power lines. More heavy weather is expected for the region today. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
The lawyer for the Pakistani doctor who helped the U.S. find Osama bin Laden says he's no longer representing the man after facing threats from terrorists. Lawyer Saminullah Afridi said today his decision came after he received what he called a final warning from the terrorists. Afridi represented Dr. Shakil Afridi, they're not related, but says it's now not possible for him to continue. The lawyer also said that under U.S. pressure on Pakistan for his client's release, he's been under greater pressure from the terrorists, too. A police official in Pakistan says a bomb blast targeting refugees registering with the government has killed four people in the northwestern city of Peshawar. The bombing on a soccer field, also wounded eight people. Officials were registering refugees from the nearby Khyber tribal region. A government official says the assault appears to be a suicide attack, though nobody is claiming responsibility as yet. This is SRN News. Doctors and hospitals have to obey rules to protect the privacy of a patient's medical information, and one big hospital in New York is finding out what happens when you don't.
The U.S. Health and Human Services Department is announcing the settlement with New York Presbyterian Hospital Columbia University Medical Center. The facility will have to pay $4.8 million to resolve an inquiry that began in September 2010. Federal regulators say the hospital failed to secure health records of nearly 7,000 patients, leaving the sensitive records accessible through Internet search engines.
SRN's Ken Lorman. Authorities in western New York say they've seized more than 100 animals from the dilapidated home of an ailing elderly woman. The Erie County Sheriff's Office says about 110 animals, including multiple birds, turtles, dogs, cats, and a lizard, were taken from the home in Alden, just outside Buffalo. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And, wow.
Now we're jumping in the chairs like we usually do at 8 o'clock.
I feel so much better. I ran around the block three times.
Me too.
Got my blood pressure down. I'm ready for another hour. I think I can take it.
We did a few jumping jacks. Hey, so let's go back to your 14,000 claims and lay this out for our listeners.
Okay. From what I know about those claims, there was a assistant service center manager by the name of Rachel Pennington, who also was the acting service center manager when Uli Woolman got relieved. And these claims were sitting outside her office about 7 feet away in a file cabinet. And what I was told when I started there in 2009 is if we get an informal claim, go over to that drawer and make sure that there's not a copy of it in there because these are copies of claims. I'm like, well, what if they're copies? They should just go to the file. Never got my response or anything. But then 3-4 years later, I can't remember who was walking through, found this drawer claim. I was like, what is this? So a bunch of VSRs, had a veteran service representative, had to work these claims to make sure they were actually adjudicated or not adjudicated. And what they found out was is that some of the veterans were dead. They didn't get their claim processed. So there was like 2,500 of these that weren't even processed ever. And they were just sitting in this drawer outside this person's office. And when they brought this up to management, management's like, oh, okay, we'll take care of it. So then it kind of got pushed aside. Well, these five VSRs came together and said, no, this is wrong.
And those are Veterans Service Representatives, VSRs?
Yeah, Veterans Service Representatives, VSRs.
No.
So what happened, no problem. So what happened was that they had meetings with management, and some of these people had emails with this, and said these need to get work. Well, word came back from, I guess it was Diana Rubens or something, we can work 40 of those a month, so it doesn't affect our numbers too bad. So if you have 2,500 claims, you're only doing 40 a month. That's going to take how long?
Yeah. So they're more concerned. They're more concerned about the numbers than they are actually processing.
The veterans.
Yeah. Now, how many? You said some of these veterans had died. Any idea what the numbers out of 14,000? How many were actually?
The other person on the line may be able to answer that.
I can tell you from my personal experience that the ones that I screened and the ones that I was aware of personally, there were probably a third of the claims where the individual who had sent in the document had already passed away. And those documents, they considered them non-actionable claims. So they were just put aside and not dealt with. A lot of these were statements, requests over and over and over from widows of veterans, of veterans who were at the end of their life asking for help.
Oh.
And our response was to put them in a cabinet and not look at them until years later when the veteran had passed away and our obligation thus ended.
That's
well, actually,
and we read over and over and over statements from widows, especially asking for help. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have the money to take care of themselves. Her husband was a World War II vet who, Purple Heart. What help could they get? Was there anything, any assistance? And these were the ones that we had to go home at night knowing that they passed away without any assistance.
And was there any contact with those folks? I mean, were they ever notified in any way that their claim was either pending or being looked at or anything?
No, what we were told and what I was told very specifically was that if we reviewed these claims and determined that the individual who had made the request had passed away, that the request was now dead and it was considered non-actionable. Those were put off to the side into a separate pile. And what happened to those, I have no idea.
Is that why Bragg was...
Okay, I know that they were considered non-actionable claims.
Is that why Director Bragg used the saying, deny until they die? I've heard that quite a bit, that deny until they die.
There's a belief among a lot of people. Well, I will say personally with myself as a veteran, as I go to work every day, I realize that it's all about the numbers. It's not about taking care of our vets. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about how the VA looks. It's about appearances. It's about all those things. It's not about that vet at 80 or 90 years old who was at the Battle of the Bulge or Normandy asking for help at the end of his life. And we took that request and stuck it in a drawer.
Well, speaking of 80 years old, I met a fellow here at this veterans hall named Gordon Yeoman. They took his veterans benefits away because they said he fraudulented his DD-214, and that's all a story, just to deny him his claims until he dies. And this is my opinion. Why would they do that? Why not investigate it, let him continue to collect? Well, what if they're wrong? And they usually are wrong.
Oh, my God, yes.
Now, what's a DD-214 for all us non-vets?
That's a form you get to tell you your service and your where you were stationed and your what division you were in and what company you were in.
And so they were saying that he wasn't even in the military?
They're saying he was in the military, but from what I understand, that he wasn't a
POW.
POW at in a prison camp. When
oh
he was in
God.
The war.
So he was in the war, he was a POW, and they came back and said that was all fabricated.
And he has pictures, and he has statements, and he has everything to prove that... I think this is one of the ones that's being investigated by our local sheriff, and I think those people are going to be real sorry for what they did to Mr. Yeoman.
And they took his benefits away while they investigate.
Well, they're not... it's just sitting.
I'd like to ask the people listening out there, if you can help a veteran today or tomorrow... Help a veteran, any veteran. If you see a veteran, give him a little hand because he's not getting a hand over at Oakland. You can bet on that.
Mm. Good point.
So what's the status of these 14,000 claims right now? Are they still just sitting in a drawer or are they going to soon be shredded by the privacy officer?
Good question.
What I can tell you from what I know personally is that several of us started kind of raising a stink about these claims. A lot of us are, as a matter of fact, everyone that was working on the project were veterans, and it became overwhelming to us, and we spoke up about it. We were removed from the project and sent back to work normal work, and they, from what I understand, they took one person, and they had all these claims siphoned through one person, and she worked these claims until she left. Now, what has happened to those claims since then? I have no idea.
They probably gave the they probably gave the cases to Lee Deloney, who does nothing every day. I understand that some of these people watch porn and do online gambling. And
I heard that too. I heard like a decision review officer or something. I don't know exactly who you are, but I can't wait to get back to work.
I heard Douglas Bragg frequents prostitutes outside. When he walks outside, he goes out to Castro. And I haven't even been to Oakland, but I know. This guy told me he goes out to Castro and sees him with transvestite prostitutes out there. And that's I can't prove that, but okay. He gets nothing better to do.
Yeah. I don't really know how to respond to that.
Even
but,
the
well,
chat,
it's
even the
very important for our veterans to
one.
Know that their cases are not getting looked at, that he'd rather frequent a prostitute.
Misty, do you think that, with these 14,000 cases, is that policy or procedure still going on? I mean, I know you don't know what happened to those 14,000, but could they possibly be starting a new list of files to put in a drawer to hold until they're ready to look at them?
Well, there's no way that I know about anything like that. I know that, once again, we go back to dealing with these day of discovery claims, where they come in as old claim, where we discover them as old claims, and instead of putting the true day of claim and getting them worked expeditiously, we are giving them the current date of claim and just putting them off and letting them just, you know, with all the rest of the claims.
Right.
So by the time they actually get to them, they're much, much older than what they should be.
Right.
Okay? So they should be adjudicated much faster, and they're not, because they're going to go by the date of claim, and because they came up with this special rule that anything that was over 30 days old, they could put this special flash on, unadjudicated claim discovered, and gave it the current date of claim, irregardless of how old it was. We did not follow procedures set out by guidelines by central office in Washington, and we simply just threw them into the rest of the claims.
Well, so, Carlos says here on the chat, weekly reports were made to central office. They were made up until 6 months ago on the informal claims. What does that mean?
What that means is when the project started up with the claims that were found, we were making a weekly spreadsheet report to a contact and CO. I can't really say who that was, but there were weekly reports that were sent up advising on, you know, how many we found that weren't adjudicatable and how many found that were adjudicatable. And it was a hotly tracked item. And, you know, the big thing is the VA can say they can deny it, but reports were made at the highest level.
So those claims...
So that's simply what that means.
So they knew the truth.
They were actually... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I was going to say they knew the truth, right?
What's that?
The central office knew the truth. So this wasn't happening in a bubble in Oakland.
They were actually... What you haven't been told yet is they were actually discovered by a high-ranking central office person, high-ranking in the hierarchy of the VA. They were actually discovered during a walkthrough.
The 14,000 claims?
So, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
So were they in a janitor's closet?
Once again, I can't, divulge names and stuff like that, but they were found by a very high-ranking member of the VA, and they were...
I thought it was Diana Rubin. I thought it was Diana Rubin that found it. She's not to agree or not, but I'm pretty sure it was her.
Someone named Diana Rubens?
I think so. I think it was her.
And so where does she work? What is central office? What does that mean?
They are the policymakers in D.C.
Oh.
They are the hierarchy that works their way down from the secretary on down through the undersecretary on down to the undersecretary of benefits.
So the
aforementioned name that Tony mentioned is real high up. I believe she's probably third or fourth in the pecking order of the food chain.
So she never asked, like, hey, whatever happened to those?
No, she, like I said, once, you know, we were taken off the project rather abruptly. We only did it for a short period of time. And then there was another individual that kind of took it up until she left. But I do know for a fact that there were several email correspondences where we were reporting the numbers that we were reviewing daily.
So
that report was made at the highest levels.
If these claims, these 14,000 claims, were in fact shredded and no longer exist, it sounds
to me... I can tell you that the ones that were adjudicated were adjudicated. The ones that were non-actionable were more than... I mean, I can't say they were or were not with any certainty, but they were more than likely gotten rid of.
Okay, so they would still be in the computer, though, wouldn't they?
We don't know.
That we don't know. I mean, they're supposed to.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be?
Duplicates. They should go to the folder.
When you say...
So there should be evidence in the folder.
So when you say they were adjudicated, that means maybe the person was rated and then given their benefits, but they weren't given 18 years of back pay.
That I couldn't tell you. I mean, not being on the rating side, they had a lot where they did adjust the benefits. There were some where no adjustments were made, but
interesting.
It would be hard to say.
So they could, can they erase them out of the computer?
Well, there's ways to do everything.
Wow.
Legally, no.
Well, legally, yeah, I understand that, but there's got to be a footprint somewhere where those if they were copies.
Whenever there's any paper that has evidentiary value, is supposed to be directed to the folder.
And see, that kind of concerns
me. But again,
me.
Without a list of numbers, it would be hard to.
But when you say,
you know, say exactly
when you say they're in a folder, I mean, I think we're in the 21st century here. A folder. To me, is a folder in a computer now. It's not a folder like a manila folder in a drawer.
That's a folder to me.
There are physical paper files that still exist for thousands of veterans. The VA is in the process of converting everything over to electronic. So when I say folder, there are physically folders.
Oh, my gosh.
Redwood folders that exist for every veteran.
So they're still working on 3.5-inch floppies probably, huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
We spent a lot of money on their computers.
So when I say the claims were unadjudicated, what's supposed to happen is it's supposed to be routed to the folder or to the electronic file.
So if there was
a folder that existed at that point in time.
So they just found a – this is Ed. They just found 17 pages of my record that one of our people sent to me secretly. It wasn't an official – anyway, I read it, and my case is now at the Board of Veterans Appeals. So I'm trying to give my case as everybody's case because it probably happens to everybody's case. But did the Board of Veterans Appeals receive my 17 pages that I just received a month ago? And I'm kind of worried about that because that explains injuries they're saying that I didn't say when I was in the service, but they said happened in an accident 5 years later. And if they don't get those records, I'm kind of left with the same documents that they looked over and hashed over the first time, and that the Board of Veterans Appeals, who I pray get it right and do their job correctly and help these veterans out, the Board of Veterans Appeals, whoever you are. This is my only chance to reach out, so I'm doing it now. Out there in Washington, please have a heart for the veterans of the United States.
Hey, guys, we're going to take a really quick break here because we haven't taken any again. We'll do them all at the same time. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wetheopleradio.us. Hit the second chat link. There's something funky going on with the chat room.
I'm gonna reload a couple of floppy disks here so I can get my facts
Bill's
going to
go
straight.
Check his floppy disks. He's freaking out.
Indy thinks he's been banned again, but I swear
he
hasn't.
We didn't ban you. It's a lie. You're listening to the KCNR 1460 AM. Will you feel the with so many lies, you twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted. If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
The 66th Annual Reading Rodeo thunders into town May 14th through the 17th. It's 4 days of action-packed rodeo with three performances of the Wrangler Million Dollar Silver Tour Rodeo. Wednesday and Thursday, it's family night. Both nights, all grandstand seating priced at general admission. And Friday is tough enough to wear pink night, sponsored by Pendleton Whiskey. Saturday night, it's the Wrangler Champions Challenge and Tri-Counties Bank Night, as the top 10 in each event compete for a one-night $80,000 purse. Over 50 championships will be represented in this one night of rodeo. The Reading Rodeo will be jam-packed full of exciting family entertainment all four nights. Tickets are on sale now for all events. Follow the Reading Rodeo on Facebook for up-to-date rodeo information and events. The Reading Rodeo grounds roar to life for the annual Reading Rodeo.
For tickets, go online to ReddingRodeo.com or visit the Rodeo box office at the Redding Rodeo Grounds Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6. Or order by phone at 241-8859.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Won't you text me with your master plan? You're loud and clear, but I don't understand. I'm a digital explorer in analog Rome. Everybody's on the phone.
That's a good one. Who was that?
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffet.
And it wasn't about a boat?
It was. Yeah,
I wish.
No margarita.
It's about our show. Everybody's on the phone.
Everybody's on the phone, except for us. Unbelievable. All right, so Bob, the producer, obviously brought up an interesting point that we just started a second hour of this program and never told you who we were. Problematic. So we've got Misty and Carlos and Tony on the phone. They work at the Oakland VA, and they're giving us a little inside, a peek behind the magic curtain, as it were. All we ever get to see is the flaming head. Toto never brings back the curtain for us. We just go out and fetch brooms and come back, and nothing happens. I mean, Oz is a bad place.
Yeah. Our hair catches on fire. That's about the
Bill's freaking out.
Us.
So you got Aaron and Bill, your hosts, and then we have Ed, who is a veteran who's been waiting for his claim out of the Oakland VA for 36 years. So, I did meet somebody who's been waiting for 41 years, I think it is. But he lives in Reno, and thanks to the swift processing of his claim, he's homeless, so he doesn't have a phone to call us. So there's lots of stuff going on out there. Where would you guys like to? Ed had a thing he wanted to bring up, and I.
Yeah, I'd like to ask him all about. I understand from Joseph, who works at the VA too, that's been calling me and telling me. A few things about my case and sending me paperwork that these people say don't exist. What about the janitor's closet? There's supposed to be Rubbermaid boxes full of claims and folders in the janitor's. They use it for storage. A big janitor's office where mops and brooms are that he's seen.
We're back to high tech again.
Okay, these are real folders, Bill. They're made out of paper.
Oh my gosh.
So what do you guys say about that?
Personally, I don't know about any janitor's closet. I will tell you at times, though, that there are plastic tubs and tubs full of claims that are moved around, okay? But as far as any janitor's closet, I don't know about those.
Yeah, he specifically said, Rubbermaid plastic tubs. With brown files and you know, just regular files just thrown in there where they could get mixed up, and they're put in the janitor's office when they get an investigation from the IG or the supervisors from Washington or somebody. They just throw them in there and then throw some mops on top of it and say it's janitorial stuff.
Do you know where this closet's at? Because I wouldn't mind going to look at it. I would love to go find this because I've never heard of it.
I never asked. I know it's close to Director Bragg's office.
If you find out, you let me know because I'll walk in there. I don't care who tries to stop me. I'll find out where this is at. I've never heard of it.
You know, Tony, if they have all these files and tubs, even these 14,000, why don't they have, or maybe they do, you know, we used to, I worked for a company one time. We had a lot of records, tax records, credit records, things like that needed to be put into a system, and then we did destroy the hard copies, but everything was put in the computer. Why aren't these files being scanned and at least put into the system so that they don't get lost? Or is that part of the plan? They want them to get lost.
I'm hoping it's not that, and I'm hoping that they've just been so overwhelmed with not doing the right thing. Because if they can't do the right thing on a big scale, they can't follow the laws, then they can't follow the simplest of procedures or even orders on how to do things. I think somebody brought up the fact that last year we had guidance from central office that stated we're supposed to do things a certain way, but then we didn't do it in our office. That's what I was trying to explain. They don't understand the impact that they have on their decisions. When they make a bad decision and they break a law or they do something wrong, it impacts everybody. But if they did it, like you're saying, according to a procedure, let's get these claims, put them under control right now. Until we get these out of the way, we're not going to do anything else. I mean, this is very important stuff, kind of like what we had with the Agent Orange. When we discovered that these veterans from Vietnam need these things and they finally adjudicate and say that these are okay conditions to service connect, We went all out on that. We should do that every time we find something like this. But they don't, because they're protecting their numbers and they're protecting their face.
Now, why are they protecting the numbers?
Okay. Can I say something real quick? When we talk about scanning these documents into the system, we do have a scan system. We're supposed to be able to send all these documents to a scan center, which, you know, is supposed to take within 7 days. We're seeing a lot of documents that claims that go back to October, November of last year that still have not been scanned.
And again, not following the procedure. If they follow the procedure, did what they're supposed to, when they're supposed to, everything's in the system. We process it accordingly. I mean, it's so simple if you're in business. It's hard to explain to people. I wish these managers worked at, like, McDonald's or something. Because the people at McDonald's, they manage everything. Their staff, their everything, their work, their resources. They don't know how to do that. And therefore, we're stuck with what we got, a convoluted mess.
Right.
And nobody knows how to get their way out of it. And when people like myself, have a college degree and then some experience, and we try to explain them you're doing something wrong, they come after us.
Here's another thing, Tony. You know, the VA has claimed that they're understaffed and they don't have enough money to stay on top of this massive workload. They have been given more money twice that I know of in the last year. You know, their budget has been increased. This isn't a money issue. You know, we keep throwing money at this. And money's not the problem. And when are they going to figure that out? That you can throw all the money you want at this, it's not going to make this go away.
We just spent, I don't know the exact figure, but I know it's probably hundreds of thousands of dollars renovating spaces for VBA in Oakland here recently, when really those renovations could have been used someplace else. That money could have been used.
Now, when you say renovation, what are you talking about? New chairs, new couches,
new carpet.
Oh my gosh!
Because
that's why they can't process claims.
They totally took out one floor, doing total renovations on it. So we're talking months of renovations, moving claims assistants and veteran service representatives and raiders around the building into various spots to work while they did these construction for our new spaces.
And see, in my world, when I go to work and I'm behind in my projects, and I go to my boss and say, hey, I could get this done a lot faster if I just had a new couch and some new carpet. I could work a lot faster and get a lot more stuff processed.
Okay, let's just be serious. Bill is the janitor at his work. He doesn't even have a janitor.
Don't got a janitor car?
Yeah. No, I am the janitor.
I'm kind of the
jack of all everything. But I just can't believe the amount of money these folks are getting, and they keep throwing money. Because, I mean, that's the government way. Well, if you throw more money at it, it'll get done.
Here's one more thing as far as money goes. Right now there is an initiative where thousands of VA employees around the country are being sent to remedial training. They're being sent to, and these are people that are in level GS-11s and 12s, are being sent to be taught how to do their job. And the only people that are going to this training are those people that are not basically keeping up with the numbers. And we're talking thousands across the United States.
And these are folks that have been on the job for God knows how long, and have probably done all the little things along the way to get to where they are, and now they have to be trained now that they're there.
Correct.
Well, some of them have been there a while, and some of the situations are going down. I think they're going to try to send me because I've been out sick, and they're saying I'm not keeping up with my job because I've been out sick. I can't make my numbers if I'm out, but they want to send me.
I just heard Tony say that they come after us. You know, I actually feel that way. When I went to my hearing in Willimon, the way she looked at me and the way she answered my question, I think after my case, personally, laid around on purpose because they're coming after me because I really ticked them off. I think I ticked them off.
Exactly, and they can do what they want. So watch yourself.
I think also in his particular case, if it was ever actually fully investigated and rated properly back to 1978 or whatever it was, their numbers are going to go right into the basement because they're not going to, they're going to have to pay out. And speaking of payouts, don't these people, some of these managers, if I'm not mistaken, get bonuses for the money they save when they don't pay veterans. Is that correct?
I'm not sure, but I've heard that. I haven't seen any documentation, but I've heard that they do get bonuses.
Yeah.
I heard that that the higher up, Willie Clark, got $53,000. It was in a Forbes magazine. I heard this. I didn't see it. And that Kathy Trinkle and Sinseki, they all get big bonuses, and they can collect travel pay and if they use their own car and so on and so forth. And it's kind of frightening that they get paid and the veterans have to wait.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, one thing, you guys, that's really throwing a corkscrew at us is this electronic system they brought forward. You know, they said the whole healthcare system broke down for the government. Ours is even worse. Ours crashes all the time. And when ours crashes, like, we're down. The whole place is down. Sometimes the whole country is down. And that's what's holding up a lot of people getting their numbers. So some of these people that have been there for a long time, that's something else I want to bring up. They're going to get remedial training because of the system they brought up that's broken. I have 184 screenshots saved in different areas in my location that shows how many times it was down, out of service, no service. We have this thing called Ring of Death where you have to sit and wait in between screens while the dial goes over.
The Ring of Death, I like that. You better be careful with those copies you're making because they'll be after you for that.
Sure.
They're at work. They're always at work. I don't violate PII violations. I don't take anything home with any veterans' names or information. Hey. It always stays at work. But I never disclose where I keep it at work.
Hey, Bill, well, you think this is a case for Sean Hannity and maybe Megyn Kelly, and we can get this on the Fox News Network?
I would like to think that those guys are interested, truly interested in getting something like this solved. But a lot of times I think it's about entertainment.
I actually watch Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly. I love those guys over at Fox News. And if they could pick this up and help us veterans out here in the United States.
They've definitely got the big mic. They could make this thing run nationally.
I mean,
get some stuff done.
I mean,
you know, somebody like Rush Limbaugh or somebody like that could. I mean, these guys have investigating staff that can pick up the same. I mean, if we know it, and we have the ability to get these documents and prove that all this hanky panky is going on, they certainly could do the same thing if they wanted
to. Well, Dianne Feinstein's office and Barbara Boxer's office, it's useless to even try to contact them.
I agree.
Because they contact the VA, get a stupid letter back from the VA, and then they send the veteran, oh, you're in order, so what? You know,
exactly.
I've been writing them for, I think Dianne Feinstein's got me in her computer since the 90s. So, I mean, and that's when the computers first, I mean, because she had me on paper, but now she's got me in her computers. I used to love Dianne Feinstein because I've known her from San Francisco, but she broke my heart and lost my faith, and I'm not going to vote for another Democrat if you paid me.
Well, you know, Hannity just got done with a series on this whole veterans thing that's happening down in Phoenix, and you know, they uncovered a lot of stuff that I think really helped put some of those people on suspension. But it looks to me like Oakland is way bigger. Is a way bigger story than what's happening down in Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix is the actual healthcare center, where Phoenix or Oakland is where these folks are trying to get the help. And I mean, when they talked about 50 people dying because they didn't get care down in Phoenix, which was a horrible thing, how many people have died from just lack of being raided in Oakland? I mean, that's got to be.
You guys have a huge story. Okay, I'm sorry. We're getting high sign. That's right. We're blowing it again. We've missed our break. What happened to Dr. Diligence from last week?
I'm off my medication today.
Me too. Actually, the Veterans Administration didn't give me my medicine.
Dr. Diligence is cleaning toilets this week.
Yeah.
Bob, what's your excuse?
There's somebody at the door waiting for me when I leave here.
Lord, the chat room is malfunctioning. We're terribly sorry. You know, we're all off our medication. Good grief. Okay, so we're going to come back and tackle that little thing. Our guests on the phone are whistleblowers from the Oakland VA. I hope you guys, let's get ready to talk about preventable death when we come back.
Keep your heads down. Somebody's going to hurt someone before the night is through. Somebody's gonna come undone. There's nothing we can do.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. We want to extend an invitation to join us for a very special event, a Salute to the Veterans cruise to the British Isles. You're invited to join Linda and I for this very special cruise.
August 15th, 2014, with a special emphasis for veterans, family, and friends who join us.
With a special tour of Normandy beaches and the landing spots for D-Day, the military tattoo in Edinburgh, and a special visit over to Ireland.
Hi, this is Alice at Avanti Travel. My husband Bob and I will be on the cruise too. We're so excited and anxious for you to join us. We'll have special events on the cruise like cocktail parties, group photos, military history presentations, and much, much more. So call Avanti Travel at 244-1400 for more information. All our gals are just waiting to hear from you. This is a very special cruise where we honor our veterans. Everyone is invited. So give us a call right away.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Science of the VA. No science there, huh? Unless we call it mad. I guess it's mad science.
Oh, it's maddening science.
Bill's all stressed out. We're going to have to switch Bill to decaf.
Good Lord.
Let's make him a veteran.
There you go. Oh, I hear people knocking at the door. They want in for the next show. We locked them out. Hey, you are joining We the People Radio here in chaos.
You only get in at intermission.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If we're not on break, we can't let you in. Okay, so coming back, we've obviously heard tons about Phoenix and the preventable deaths because they couldn't get medical care. But as Bill so aptly pointed out, if the Benefits Administration doesn't approve your claim, you can't even get on the secret waiting list. What do you guys see down there in Oakland for claims, you know, for people that pass away before their claims ever get handled? Uh-oh. Do we lose them? Oh, they're muted. Ah, that's a neat trick. Okay, you're not muted anymore. You may now answer the question again.
Say it again?
Were you guys goofing off?
No. I was listening to you pushing the button.
Well, some of these people here in Redding are committing suicide and
yeah,
they're dying before they're receiving their benefits, which is not very nice.
No, actually, if you look on the internet, you can also search stuff to Menlo Park. There are some veterans that took their lives, and they're doing it out by the ward out there, and it was pretty disturbing because the people that found them and the situation at hand. I mean, we have veterans dying on a bus because they couldn't get their health care, and they're just riding around. I mean, there's so many different means. Some of them are taking their lives, which is the worst, because they don't get the care they need.
And so when you – some of these claims that drag on and on and on, and like some of the 14,000 you were talking about earlier, I mean, what's the – is there any – does that hurry anybody up? I mean, is there any indication they might want to do something differently?
Well, I'll tell you firsthand from the employees that I work with, there's a lot of hardworking ones, especially the veterans that are there and the families of veterans, and – there's people that are trying to do the right thing, but every time we say something, we get bullied or pushed around, and we're trying to explain to them this is going to affect us, it'll affect our jobs, and affect the processing of these claims. But instead of having a receptive management that's ethical or moral or receptive, we don't have that. And it goes, what I found out in my proxy to my claim and the complaints I have against management for harassment, hostile work environment, discrimination, yada, 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 is that it goes up to the highest level. And we have people that are lawyers working for general counsel and regional counsel trying to tell me that my claim doesn't have any, it doesn't meet the requirements, but then I spell it out to them and they're still just like, oh, well, we're going to ignore you some more. But if they were to actually look at the Oakland office and take care of these problems and make these managers comply with the laws, you'll see the effects. The morale will improve. The employees will have what they need. The processing is going to happen. I mean, this is what I'm talking about when I say McDonald's. If the people aren't happy, they're not going to do their job right. If they don't have the resources, they can't do their job. It's basic.
There are so many employees in Oakland that want to do the right thing and who are not being allowed to do the right thing. So it's not like we don't have people that care. We have a lot of people that care. It's that we're being told from do what?
That's why we work there.
That's why they took the job, sure.
It's about the numbers. It's all about the numbers.
Well, we're just
not the veterans.
We're just going to have to pray that Juliana Barr is kind-hearted and will look up these old claims and fix them herself, call them back from the Board of Veterans Appeals. It takes five, six years, and pray that she does the right thing as director, or, you know, she can be replaced too.
Well, I'll let you know by the next show, because I plan on requesting a meeting with her, just like I have with Mary Markey, who hasn't met with me since she fired me.
I'm going to
write. First time I met her, she fired me.
I'm going to write a letter to Congressman Jeff Miller and Daryl Issa, and hopefully they'll get on the bandwagon with Megyn Kelly and Sean Hannity. And if we get those people, I mean, I think we can steamroll and get the truth.
I hope so. Well, ultimately, the Department of Justice is going to have to come in and regulate.
You're probably right.
This is the worst-case scenario, and until we have that, and until, I guess, we get the exposure, they're not going to do anything. I know they're backlogged with all the other stuff going on, but come on.
Well, unfortunately, look who we have at the top of the Department of Justice. Do you think they're going to want to raise any stink before the election? I mean, it's...
No.
I just don't see that happening, unfortunately.
But then again, we're looking at the numbers.
Well, I think that's where I think if the people, you know, if the public is made aware of these egregious offenses they're doing down there, somebody has to do something.
And it's preventable. I mean, we've learned this morning, if we've learned nothing else, that the backlog is preventable.
Absolutely. If you're a manager that understands basic concepts, it's preventable.
I mean, isn't somebody already calling for Jacinski to you know, step down?
I wish he would. I used to like him.
Well, he is the man at the top, and I mean, with all this stuff going on, he can't ignore this.
Has Oakland been a mess the whole time you guys have been there?
Yes.
Well, hold on a second. I think the first 2 years it was a mess, but when I worked with the group in triage when I got there, we worked hard and we busted out a lot of numbers. We were so excited about having jobs. We're all unemployed because of our disabilities, and we got a job with the VA. We were excited. There was a core of us that pushed out so much work that we were almost in tier two bonus, like as a whole RO, and we were doing really well. But then after they stopped listening and all this stuff happened in June training, it went downhill. And from June training, it's been June 2012, it's been the worst.
That's because they get paid no matter what. If you start paying them on their performance, which probably will never happen. But
well, no, that's happening now. It's called a performance.
Not bonus, but I see what you're saying. Yeah.
In other words, take their check away for a couple months and see how they make their payments and then let them think about how the veterans feel. And it's really crappy. I mean, they get their checks, so they don't have to do nothing. They just go home. They get paid. I mean, I bet they're in the first ones in line when their payday comes to get their check.
Well, it starts at the top, and if the people at the top are rewarding these folks for doing what they're doing, it's not going to change until the management at the top, or the whole policy, I should say, is changed on how
the
these
culture,
cases.
The culture.
There you go. Thank you. That's got to change.
There's a huge fear in Oakland that if you speak up, the retaliation is severe.
I can prove it.
You worry about myself. I'm an older individual. I'm a vet who's service connected, who worries that they're actually going to fire me if I say too much, and yet I can't go to work on a daily basis and not be overwhelmed by the guilt that I feel by not doing the right thing every day.
And I'm really glad you said that, because I've had a lot of people tell me they need to go down there and just shut it down and fire everybody. That's not what we need to do.
No, that's not the answer.
No, absolutely not.
There are a lot of people there that are veterans and even not non-veterans who care tremendously, but we are held back.
Yep.
We are told what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And if we defer from that by any stretch of the imagination, we are retaliated upon.
And that is
there's no if, answer, but. And
I totally believe you when you say that. I think there's a lot of good people that are working down there, and there are people at the top that keep their thumb on this whole thing so that it doesn't come out, and they continue to get paid and stay in their position. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I see the big problem with the people that we're talking about is a lot of them have never used the system. So we have veterans like Eric Shinseki who probably never had a claim in the system, so he doesn't know what it's like to wait.
Well, I think a prerequisite ought to be you need to be a veteran to work there.
Exactly.
Thank you. Because the management are civilians, and in the end, it's like if you work at Starbucks but you don't drink the coffee and you're serving it to everybody and you don't care what it tastes like, guess what?
Look at Iacocca when he took charge of Chrysler and pulled him out of the toilet. He looked out the window and said, anybody that's not driving a Chrysler, you pack your bags. And the next day, everybody, the parking lot looked different. And that's the same thing that needs to happen in the VA. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Tony, why don't they just look at people's DD-214, see that they had an injury listed in their doctor's report, give them the minimum amount to live, $1,200 a month, until their case is adjudicated, and then their back payment can be calculated later. In other words, give them the money to live because it's been proven they're a vet, they've been hurt, and then do that right from the beginning instead of making them wait. They're dying. They're dying every day, Mr. President. Do you care?
Absolutely. And well, the thing is, if they can't do that because a lot of people don't meet the requirements to get that service-connected level. It's usually when you're advanced, and a lot of people have a claim for veterans, like in your situation, or not even been approved for it for 30 years. Well, that's just unsatisfactory. I mean,
I think my file's being held somewhere and being delayed because I went to the congressman's office, and that's my opinion. And I think they're being biased against me. I think Willimon hated me from the beginning, the way she looked at me and talked to me and disrespected me in that hearing. I just felt bad.
She's not a vet anyway.
One thing I want to tell you guys, though, is that there's certain claims that I've known about that worked through the congressional office and came through our congressional area. And when a congressional person raises enough valid issues, then that claim usually gets pushed to the front. Like when I came back from my training for RVSR school, Rating Veteran Service Representative, we started working these claims that were backlogged, and then we started working congressional claims. So when we worked a congressional claim, it's usually something that got pushed forward ahead of everybody else's because of the amount of complaints or time waiting or validity to the claim. I don't understand, with the amount of evidence you have and the amount of responses and correspondence and the amount of time you've been waiting, why your claim hasn't been given that type of treatment.
Set 6 months on Mr. Bragg's desk. I mean, that was 6 wasted months.
All right, guys, we have to take a last two-minute break here, and then we're going to come back, and we'll probably have about a minute and a half left. So everybody's got a couple of minutes to figure out how we want to bring this to close here on Mother's Day. Not exactly a very cheerful Mother's Day topic, but you know what? Every mom wants their son or daughter who served the country to be well-treated, so I guess it is a good Mother's Day topic. Be right back with you.
When your day is long and the night is yours alone, when you're sure you've had enough of this life,
your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Just call me Cleopatra. Everybody calls, I'm the queen of denial.
The queen of denial.
Lillamon.
Wow. Well, welcome back, everybody. We've only got a few minutes left, but one thing I wanted to say was, you know, I mentioned it before that Sean Hannity did a story on what's happening down in Phoenix, and it got a lot of press, and it was really a very, very well put together piece. I really think Hannity needs to do a part two, get his people out here and do some investigating into Oakland. There is just so much information out there for him to work with. He could blow this thing wide open if he were to do like a part two on that story.
Hey, and Misty, Carlos, and Tony, if something like that happened, how many people at the VA do you think would speak out?
It depends on if they're protected.
Okay.
And I don't blame them.
There's a huge fear that we're going to lose retirement benefits, that we're going to be fired. A lot of us are older, and finding another job would be extremely problematic.
I get that, especially since your reference probably wouldn't be that good.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't give you a good review. So in closing, what do you think regular people out there can do? Anything?
Yeah, what can we do to help you guys and to bring this thing out and maybe get some change down there?
Well, you know, I'd just like to chime in and say that, you know, nobody likes to use the word oversight, but that's exactly what needs to happen, is there needs to be a lot more oversight. A lot more people need to contact their congressmen. A lot more people need to go into public forums, and the VA needs to accommodate and do a lot more basically public venues and hear the stories and hear and actually absorb them at a higher level. You know, pretty much the whole premise of the whole conversation today has been around just making mistakes, and mistakes that shouldn't be made, and, you know, not acknowledging these mistakes.
We're not following laws and then trying to cover up the laws we're not following and then twisting numbers. It's ethical and cultural. I mean, that's where it needs to change.
Yeah, we need more oversight, and that's what it really is.
We need to clean house. We need to have somebody come in and take a look at what's been going on and take care of those employees that have done their job and take care of those other employees that have done nothing but worry about making money.
I agree.
Oh,
I think
any manager that's committed a felony needs to go to jail for it.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen on that
hey,
one.
Hey, Tony, did you know that if it wasn't for USAA helping me, Savings Bank out in Nevada and in Texas, that, I mean, they've helped me out a lot, the USAA card services and...
Okay, guys, we got to jump off. News is going to cut us off. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Thanks, Ed. Bill?
Until next time.
Tony?
There's going to be a next time.
Carlos? Misty? Thanks a million, you guys. We'll do it again.
Thanks, everybody. KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Find the teens, but House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers says there are limits to what America can accomplish.
Can we help with the girls? I think we can and we should and we must. But we also have to worry about the women of Afghanistan, some 11 million. We're getting ready to walk away from them. In Syria, you have 12 million women who are under siege, some 150,000 Syrians.
He was a guest on CBS TV's Face the Nation. The Midwest could see more severe weather today.
Just have the moisture and instability, which is typical of the central United States as we get into mid-May. And these storms happen to be interacting with the surface warm front, which is often a favored location for storms to rotate and occasionally produce tornadoes.
Forecast.